Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Thank you for calling customer service, where we answer all your burning questions about brands. This call may be recorded for podcast purposes.
Household name customer service. Can I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Danielle Kurtzleben.
And you have a problem for us?
Yes. So I went to order Pride and Prejudice on Amazon.com. And I just picked one that was towards the top of the list. And it showed up at my house a couple days later. And it looks like you would expect a cover of Pride and Prejudice to look, except it's huge. It's 8.5 by 11 with a glossy cover. You can't, like, one-hand it like you can with the usual novel. And then on the inside, the typeface size, I swear, is, like, 6. It's very small, and each page is full of it. I'm flipping through, and it's, like, 1.5 pages to a chapter, sometimes less. But the funny thing also is that there's this weird little, like, medallion ribbon thing on the cover. And in the middle of it is an A, and around it is a bunch of Cyrillic writing, as if it had won some sort of Russian literary prize. I don't know. And I don't know how I screwed up, but this apparently is what I ordered, and so this is what I got. And I'm wondering, how did this get made, and why does it exist, and does anybody enjoy this?
When this book came and you saw this gigantic copy, what was your reaction? What did you feel?
Like, half amusement and half shame, because, like, amusement because this is an absolutely bonkers book, but then half shame because, oh, I've been had by a Russian publishing house. Okay, cool.
Well, I don't know anything about Russian interference in the publishing market, but I think I know somebody who might. Can you hold, please?
That sounds great.
From Business Insider and Stitcher, this is Household Name.
Brands you can trust.
Brands you know, stories you don't. I'm Dan Bobkoff.
McDonald's Big Mac. Only Starbucks.
Here on Household Name, we do a segment called Customer Service. We get calls from listeners asking us questions. Today, I have a feeling this customer service call is going to be a big investigation, so we're going to spend the whole episode on it. Stay with us. Okay, so I thought it was kind of weird that there appears to be some sort of Russian publishing company selling copies of English language classics on Amazon where the book is too big and the type is too small. But there was somebody I thought might be able to help me figure this out. It's Susie Armitage.
Hi, Dan.
Hello. You are a freelance producer. You spent time in the NPR Moscow Bureau. You speak Russian. You've reported all sorts of things in the former Soviet Union. And my question for you is, have you ever seen a book like this?
No. Yet? And the first thing I wanted to know when I saw this book was, is this legal?
Right. Like, can anyone just make money off selling bootleg copies of Pride and Prejudice online?
That was my question, too. I asked my friend Mateo, who works in publishing, what he thought.
So, like, is this fraud?
Depends what we mean about fraud. It doesn't seem to me as false advertising because Amazon...
He reminded me that, like, if you look carefully at the product page on Amazon, it says the size of the book. It says the number of pages. they're not lying. You just have to be an informed consumer and not just like hit click without looking.
But what they're doing is just taking the entire text of Pride and Prejudice, slapping a cover on it. Are they allowed to do that?
Yes. So when I was talking to Matteo about this, he was basically like, hey, FYI, Jane Austen died more than 200 years ago. So this book is in the public domain and no one owns it anymore.
Right. The public domain. I guess we all own it.
But that doesn't answer the real mystery here, which is why would what seems to be a Russian company be selling this gigantic, weirdly formatted copy of Pride and Prejudice?
And?
So I followed the breadcrumbs in the book itself. Number one, there was this seal on the front of the book in Cyrillic, and that made me think, this is a Russian project. But also interesting, when you open the book and you read the introduction, it's weird.
What does it say?
Okay, so here's the first sentence. Jane Austen is one of the founders of classic novels for women.
Does it really say one of the founders? All right, so that's raising some alarm bells.
Her most famous novel, Pride and Prejudice, is rightly considered to be the masterpiece of the world literature.
All right, so this is like reading a bad Google translation of a book?
Right. And I've spent a lot of time in this part of the world. I've lived and worked in Russia and in Ukraine. I taught English for a year in Ukraine. And I would correct the same types of mistakes that you see in this introduction in people's writing all the time, right? So there's no article the in Russian or Ukrainian. So, of course, people mix it up all the time. And this introduction just has traces of that speech pattern all over it.
So you think this book is Russian?
Sure looks like it. And at this point, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this was made for the Russian market. Like, maybe it's meant for Russian readers, not native English speakers like Danielle. So, Dan, I happened to be in Moscow recently. It's, like, snowing a little bit. And I started trying to find this book in the wild. Because maybe the publisher of Danielle's book, Strelbitsky Multimedia Publishing, maybe they specialize in books for English language learners or something.
Yeah, so maybe there's like this niche group who wants to read gigantic books with tiny print for some reason?
I mean, it's possible. So I went to a whole bunch of bookstores.
It says knigi, which means books in Russian. Knigi.
Cool. I'm not seeing any English classics here.
Yeah.
Let me go back.
This is definitely a bigger bookstore.
And I asked lots of different sales clerks whether they had any gigantic copies of Pride and Prejudice. They don't have large format books like that Jane Austen book. They just have only small ones, she said, like normal size books. But I had another lead. So I'd Googled the publishing company Strelbitsky, and mostly that turned up other books they'd published. But when I transliterated their name into Cyrillic and I Googled that, I got some more information.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I found the company's website, strelbooks.com.
So was there anything mysterious there?
Well, I realized why I wasn't having much luck in Moscow. Because I noticed that the logo on the site looked a lot like the one on Danielle's book. Except this one was in Ukrainian.
So this might not be Russian meddling in the publishing industry.
No, I was starting to think this is Ukrainian meddling.
You're in the wrong country.
Yeah. So I found a contact page on Strelbitsky's website, and I emailed almost everyone at the company, hoping at least someone from Strelbitsky would get back to me. And then I departed Moscow.
So I'm on the way to Kiev now.
On a very old train.
Here we go.
I was in the third class section, which is basically an open car with about 50 bunks in it.
In a giant slumber party.
It has a very, very old school vibe. The toilet flushes directly onto the tracks. And they just close the bathrooms when you're approaching a town for sanitary reasons. There was this very ancient looking carpet running down the middle of the car. It takes about 12 hours and you go through two border crossing points. So you get woken up twice in the middle of the night to show your passport. So at this point, I am really just hoping as a reporter that we can deliver some answers to Danielle. I would like to come back being able to solve her mystery.
Were you hopeful?
I would say I was a combination of nervous and hopeful.
So it's 6:55 a.m. I have just arrived in Kiev on the train from Moscow.
in the middle of the night, I realized that I managed actually to remove only one of my contact lenses and not both of them. So now I'm wearing one.
So what was your plan?
What I really wanted to do was go to the Petrivka Book Market.
Yes.
Okay, great. Exit one. Knizhkovy Rynok Book Market. Got it.
What is that?
The Petrivka Market is famous for basically selling all kinds of books. But when I lived in Ukraine, it also had a reputation for selling things that aren't exactly legal. So since this book seems sort of like a bit of a knockoff, like it's completely legal, yet also it kind of feels black markety. I thought, like, maybe this is the place where we would find it. I got on the subway, and I went down to the market.
Let's see who has maybe, like, some novels. This also looks like...
And I just start walking around anywhere with books and being like, hey, do you have classics?
Есть у вас классический роман. Дальше?
Do you have Jane Austen? Do you have Big Jane Austen? Have you heard of Strelitzky Multimedia Publishing? And basically, like, no dice. No, nobody had heard of them.
Hi, excuse me. Do you have Big Jane Austen?
Okay, he's saying they don't have classic novels. It's, like, down further.
There's plenty of regular Jane Austen. Very similar to the books that I had seen in bookstores in Moscow. Like... annotated versions, or, you know, I asked one lady and she's like, no, I carry books from England. I sell nice copies.
Oh, and some kids' books here in Russian and Ukrainian. Nice quality.
So what you're learning here is that Big Jane Austen is not a thing.
No. My original theory was like Big Jane Austen is a thing designed for Russian speakers in this local market. And I was quickly finding out, like, if they're trying to sell to the local market, well, they're not in this market, which is the go-to place in Kyiv for people who want to buy books in English.
So who is this book actually for, then?
I had the same question. So I went to visit a different Ukrainian publisher. Her name is Bogdana Pavlichko. She's a respected publisher of English language books. Maybe she knew what was up. She actually had me over to her house.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
I am immediately struck by these floor-to-ceiling bookshelves. It's just like this gorgeous apartment filled and filled and filled with books. And then we go into another room, and we sit down, and we start talking, and there's just like another table stacked with books. So, like, she's a book person. I think she knows what she's talking about. And then we sit down, and I showed her these pictures of Danielle's copy of Pride and Prejudice.
Can you just read a little bit of this?
Jane Austen is one of the founders of classic novels for women.
She starts reading that wacky intro and her face kind of scrunches up.
Elizabeth, who managed to correct the mistake of Pride and Prejudice. Wow, this is the worst piece of text ever written. It's totally Ukrainian. It just looks so tacky, to tell you the truth. I think it looks really kooky, you know, to be this publisher in Ukraine who just makes these really ugly, weird, you know, Jane Austen. I mean, just like reprints classics with tiny font and horrible illustrations. It's just so nuts.
So she seems like she knows what's going on in the Ukrainian publishing world. What does she know about Strelitzky?
Not a lot. She's never heard of them.
I don't know who this is. Do they make money off of it?
One of Ukraine's most prominent publishers of English language books didn't have many clues for me. But when I checked my email, I had a message from a guy named Vitaly Lukanenka, the editor-in-chief of Strelitzky Multimedia Publishing. And the subject line was, meeting at the publishing house.
Wait, is this the guy who made Danielle's book?
Yep. I found him.
All right, that's coming up after the break.
The Work Lab podcast from Microsoft answers the questions that keep business leaders up at night. Like, how can I reinvent processes for the AI era, from customer service to sales to HR? How can I prepare for AI to fundamentally transform jobs, companies, industries, and the whole economy? Don't panic. Tune in. Each episode of Work Lab brings you the top experts, hard data, and actionable insights to help you future-proof your organization. Check out Work Lab, that's WORKLAB, no spaces, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and let's check in with Danielle on the phone. If you had to just sort of imagine, who do you think is behind this? What kind of person?
Oh, gosh. I mean, no matter what, it's going to be unkind because I'm so annoyed at them. I haven't a clue, honestly.
If you had to do like a police sketch, would you imagine like a lair somewhere? Or is this like...
Someone sitting in a warehouse surrounded by remaindered books, just rubbing themselves in money because they're so, I don't know, they're just swimming in cash Scrooge McDuck style over their Amazon earnings. I don't know. I also want to know how lucrative this is, speaking of which. Is this giving this person, you know, mega bucks, or is this just a side hustle?
Well, we can answer all that.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
The day of the big interview, I met up with Oksana Parafenyuk.
Oksana Parafenyuk, and I'm a translator.
And where are we going right now?
We're going to the publisher who published the Jane Austen book that this whole story is about.
Oksana's from Ukraine, and she was going to help translate the interview with Vitaly Lukyanenko. My Russian is pretty good, but I wanted to make sure I understood everything. So Oksana and I grabbed a cappuccino and a muffin, and I kind of got her take.
And when I saw the size and the quality of paper and the quality of font, I was just amazed how this is actually being sold on Amazon or anywhere at all.
We're about to finally meet the man behind Big Jane Austen, and it's a little weird. Like, how do you just ask someone, hey, what is the deal with this weird book that you made?
I'm actually curious if they do publish some better quality books. It will be just interesting to see that they, like, on purpose choose the way they publish certain books.
Should we walk?
Yeah.
All right. We walked over there. Their office is in an apartment building above a hot yoga studio.
It's a nice area. Hot yoga?
It's like pretty, you know, it's not very nefarious. And we walked up a flight of stairs, and we rang the bell, and a woman answered the door. Oksana said, we are here for Vitaly Lukyanenko, and then he came to the door and welcomed us in.
Did you feel like you're meeting a scammer?
No. He's actually really nice. He was super happy to see us. He's a middle-aged guy. He's got glasses and a mustache.
So he's taking our coats?
He was wearing a bright orange sweatshirt and jeans that day, and he invites us into his office, and we sit down. There's a little side table. It has a vase on it and this sort of, like, small framed religious icon. Actually, sitting in front of this guy, it seemed pretty clear he's not, like, this evil trickster trying to scam Americans out of their money. So I didn't go all 60 minutes on him. But I did show him Danielle's book.
Mm-hmm. Can I show you a book, actually? I think a friend of mine bought one of your books on Amazon in English. Can I show it to you, the one that you received?
Yes.
So this is the copy of the book that she received.
Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. Do you recognize it?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I tell him about how this book showed up at the top of Danielle's Amazon results and how when it came in the mail, she was surprised.
She bought your book just because it was one of the top first choices on Amazon, and I think she wasn't looking for any particular edition. Her goal was just to buy a copy of the book. And this is the one that she received, and she was a little bit surprised at how big it is, and then how inside, Let me see if we can get inside. Inside, the text is kind of small. So I'm kind of just curious, what's your goal in making this book and, like, the design the way that it is?
В данном случае это издание для читателей с молодыми глазами и с острым зрением, но с худым карманом.
In this case, this publication, this book, is for readers with young eyes, sharp vision, but thin pocket.
What did he say?
He said it's for readers with young eyes, sharp vision, and thin pockets.
That's like quite a slogan.
And after I asked Vitaly about this, he turned to his colleague Andre, who runs the business side of things, and was sitting in on the interview.
Yes,
it's a little bit hard to read. What do you think? Would you be able to read this book yourself?
So Andre basically says, with difficulty, but you can read it.
So wait, I'm a little confused here. Did Stolbitsky Publishing want the book to look like this?
So Vitaly told me a couple of things in this interview which answered a lot of Danielle's questions. First of all, selling gigantic, unreadable copies of Jane Austen is not Stolbitsky's long-term business plan. Right now, they make e-books in a bunch of languages, including Ukrainian, Russian, German, English, even Yakut, which is a language spoken in a very remote part of Siberia, which I think is kind of cool. And now they're looking to expand further to an even bigger consumer base.
How do they do that?
Well, this is kind of like a duh moment, maybe, for us as Americans, but if you want to sell a lot of books, you should probably sell books in a language more widely spoken than Ukrainian or Russian. So they started branching into English. And, I mean, where better to start than with a classic? A book you know English readers will love.
Pride and Prejudice, bestseller for generations.
It is also free and in the public domain.
So the bigger is the font, the more pages will be. And the more pages, the more expensive book is. And the smaller is the font, less expensive it will be, because then it's going to be less pages in the book. And if I increased the font even more, the price will be $7. And then it will be really hard for us to sell it.
Oh, so the book is cheaper to produce if it has fewer pages. It doesn't matter how big those pages are, so he has every incentive just to have as few pages as possible.
Right.
So how did Danielle end up with a copy of this book?
So here is the other big reveal. Vitaly and Stolbitsky are using Amazon's self-publishing system.
Wait, so you can self-publish directly on Amazon?
Yeah, totally. So there's an interface on Amazon where anyone can make a book. So Stolbitsky has basically just been finding the text of English classics in the public domain online and then literally cutting and pasting it into Amazon's book publishing feature. And I think you could say they're experimenting with the format of these books.
Maybe we'll try a tiny font edition.
Yeah, or like a gigantic page edition.
I'm wondering, so like I know that the text is in the public domain and you're kind of optimizing like for size and figuring out the design. The person I know who bought this book with tiny, tiny font, I think she felt kind of a little bit tricked. I don't think that she looked inside in the image. She just kind of bought. But I think she felt a little bit like she bought some sort of product. It was a big surprise. So I'm wondering if you feel like it's an honest way to do business, or what you might say in response to someone who thinks you're kind of ripping people off with these classics.
Okay. So at first we didn't really see how it looks, how this book looks in printed, because it's printed in the US, but then when we saw it, we understood.
So they don't receive, like someone bought this book, but they didn't receive it here.
So basically what they're telling me is that because they're using Amazon's self-publishing system or print on demand, a book only gets made when somebody like Danielle buys one.
Oh, so it's not like they have stacks and stacks of big Jane Austen in a warehouse somewhere.
No, they don't. So if nobody buys a copy online, like no books actually get printed. Also, Vitaly said the book look kind of different on his computer screen, so he didn't quite know what he was making. And because of the way that Amazon's self-publishing system works, he wouldn't have actually seen a physical copy of that book before it went on sale.
So are they making tons of money off these bootleg copies of Jane Austen novels?
So here are the economics. Let's break it down. They got the text for free because it's in the public domain. They said they get it from, like, some websites on the internet. They didn't say what, but you can get public domain text on a site called Project Gutenberg, probably elsewhere. They paid someone to illustrate the cover. They said it costs about $3 to print the book. And then they spent about $1.50 or $2 to advertise the book.
Oh, so that's why it's at the top of the search results.
Yeah, so that advertisement, you'll see the search results, it says sponsored. So actually, as a consumer, you can see that somebody has pushed it to the top. But yeah, they pay for ads to move their product to the top of the search results where people like Danielle will see it. So that's maybe around $5 in costs when you factor in printing cost and advertising. Then that book sells for about $10.
Which is like not that cheap for a like weird copy of Jane Austen.
Yeah. Okay. And then Amazon takes a cut. So in the end, they said that basically the company takes home 30 to 50 cents per book.
Which is not a lot of money after all that.
It's really not. And I guess that's part of why I left this interview feeling like Vitaly and Strelbitsky aren't the villains here. Amazon is a big part of the problem. It allows pretty much anyone to sell classics like this, and then it lumps all the customer reviews together, so it's hard to tell what's a good copy and what's not. Also, Strelbitsky agrees with Danielle. They were like, yeah, this book isn't great. They don't think that the product that she bought is awesome.
But now we understand that it's not very good quality for readers, and sometimes we actually lose money doing it, like we lost money on one children.
And they're also interested in making their books better.
We spend money on advertising, but then it wasn't very good quality.
So, like, as we were wrapping up, Vitaly wanted to show me this children's book he's been working on to get my feedback on the English translation.
I would like to know your opinion about this children's book we are working on that we translated, and there's a little text, and if this book, illustrations and also text, is good, if it can interest American audience, what do you think?
Let's see. Okay. I can read it.
Yes.
Once upon a time, Donkey lost his tail. Donkey put up an advertisement on a big oak tree.
Then he asked me if I would do some translating
like
for him.
To ask Susan maybe more about you, and we are also looking.
And I told him I can't do that.
Wait, he's like offering you a job?
Yes. Yes.
I'm not sure, just because, I like in the context of like I interviewed you to kind of do a story about your business, if I am able to help you, but maybe I can recommend.
So after that, we left. Oksana and I were both surprised at how open they were about their business model and just how they are doing everything on Amazon's self-publishing platforms. And then she suggested, like, maybe we could do it too.
I feel like if I wanted to make a little business because I can't survive anymore as a freelance journalist, I guess I could just, like, learn how to make ebooks.
Oh, now, so you went into this being like, this is shady business. And by the end of it, you're like, oh, I got myself a side hustle.
Yeah. I mean, Dan, I'm a freelance journalist. Like, you need to think like an entrepreneur and you really just need to be on top of your game.
Well, it just almost feels like if you learned a bit of digital technology of making ebooks and found a book in public domain, I could just put it out there on Amazon.
It was my last day in Kiev, and I had a train to catch that night to go back to Moscow. So I said goodbye to Oksana. I went to buy a cake with a Kiev torch. Yes. I'm going to bring this to my friends in Moscow. Bring them a little taste of Kiev. And then I got a cab to the train station. I got to the train station in Kiev, and I actually ran into some carolers. These guys are, like, singing. And I just kept thinking about what Oksana said about making a book and a side hustle. A lot of people are giving them money.
Like maybe it's for charity?
So I decided I was going to do it.
Do what?
Make a book.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We're back, and we have Susie and Danielle on the line.
So Amazon declined to be interviewed for this story. They wouldn't comment on Strawbitsky's business model. They wouldn't comment on this particular book. But the copy of Pride and Prejudice that Danielle bought does technically conform to their rules. So what Strawbitsky is doing is technically above board. So it's above board for me to do that too. So Danielle, I wanted to test out exactly how you can make a book like this using Amazon's self-publishing and print-on-demand tools. So I made a book, and we're going to send you a copy. What Vitaly did. We thought about getting you a copy of Pride and Prejudice, but it sounds like you already have enough copies of that book. So I made you a copy of a story called The Adventure of the Cardboard Box.
Okay.
By Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the writer of the Sherlock Holmes series.
Okay, cool. I'm excited to read this. How did you decide on that?
Well, I figured that your copy of Pride and Prejudice probably arrived in a cardboard box. Is that the case?
Oh, it might have been one of those puffy, bubbly envelopes, but I like the kind of meta thinking that's going on here. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because it started with a cardboard box, and it sent me on an adventure. So I wanted to, like, tie it up with something on theme.
That is perfect.
So let me tell you about making this book. On a Saturday morning, after I had gotten back to New York, I started the process of publishing the book using Amazon's new self-publishing platform, which is called Kindle Direct Publishing, or KDP. This platform has replaced CreateSpace, which is the one that Strelbitsky was using before, but they're both like Amazon self-publishing platforms. I got to work. I started in my pajamas. And I was like, all right, let's do this.
I'm in bed, and I'm going to try to publish a classic work of literature on Amazon's self-publishing platform, which is called...
So I needed to find the text. So I went to Gutenberg.org, and I did a search for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. And so a whole bunch of titles come up, like The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, The Hound of the Baskervilles, The Sign of the Four, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But also The Adventure of the Cardboard Box. So I clicked on that. And then on the Kindle Direct Publishing site, there were some instructional videos.
Does it make sound? Ooh, whoa, yeah, it does make sound.
Welcome to KDP Jumpstart, a guide to publishing.
This cracked me up, and I think you're going to think this is funny too. But the actual book that the Kindle Direct Publishing, like, welcome video that explains how to make a book, the example they're using in the template is Pride and Prejudice.
What?
So they're basically like, here's how you would make a copy of Pride and Prejudice. If you were doing that, I set up an account on Kindle Direct Publishing. It's like linked to my regular Amazon account. I like entered my tax information.
Okay.
So
my account number, which I'm not going to read for you,
Yeah, so there's like a template, and I selected the size. I decided I would make like a more normal sized book.
Is like tiny type an option?
Yes, you can tweak the size. And then it was time to design a cover.
Launch, cover, creator. This is not like high quality graphic design work I'm doing here, but it looks better, I guess.
Save.
And then I ordered a copy.
So this just came in the mail today. And I have not seen this book yet, so I'm going to open this in real time. Does this mean that you're a published author?
I don't know. I mean, my name isn't on it.
Does this mean you're a publisher?
I'm a published book creator.
Hey, here it comes. Wow. This is a real pamphlet. I mean, it's sort of a book. It's very short.
It's a book.
And
define book, Dan. Is there like a legal term for book versus pamphlet?
I think it's a book because it has like a binding on the edge. Like it feels bookish.
Mm-hmm.
And the cover the cover is a guy wearing a hard hat carrying a cardboard box. And it has a really – okay, first of all, it says copyright 2019 Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
I just like I saw other – I think Strelbitsky said like copyright 2018 Jane Austen. So I was like, okay, that's what I'll do. It was
Beyond
a little confusing to me like who holds the copyright.
Nobody.
Nobody. But yeah. Like there's a place in the template where you put copyright.
And then here's the dedication. Dedicated to all readers who have received a box that contains something they weren't expecting.
I mean, do you see what I did there, Dan?
Oh, I see what you did here.
Okay.
Danielle, are you satisfied with the service you received today?
Totally, yes. This has been great. I'm really impressed at the amount of work you guys put into this. This is an international mystery investigation. I'm really you guys went to Russia and Ukraine. So that is not at all something I ever expected happening when I first opened this book and laughed at this introduction. That's delightful.
CC Pulitzer Prizes. Well, thank you so much for calling. Really appreciate it.
Yes, bye, Danielle. Thank you, guys. Bye, Susie.
Oh, this is like the credits of the show. Acknowledgements.
What do the acknowledgements say?
With thanks to Danielle Kurtzleben.
Vitaly Lukanenko.
And then Andre, is that right?
Andre Panamarenko.
Dan Bobkoff, Amy Padula, and Sarah Wyman, the producers of Household Name. Well, listeners, if you want a fresh copy of The Adventure of the Cardboard Box, you can find it at Amazon because it is perfectly legal to do so. Goodbye, Susie.
До свидания, Dan. Or as they say in Ukrainian, до побачення.
We have a quick update now on an earlier episode. We just learned that the last Panera Cares, the last Panera where you can pay whatever you want, is closing. That's the Boston location we visited in that episode. If you didn't hear it, you can find it in your feed. It was a fascinating experiment, and why the Panera Cares failed is interesting too. Also, please take a moment and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Bobkoff. Coming up next week, we've got an episode all about Volkswagen. Did you ever drive an original Volkswagen Beetle back in the day? Maybe you drive one now. Let us know in our Facebook group or send us an email, householdname@insider.com. This episode was reported around the world by Susie Armitage. The producers of Household Name are Sarah Wyman, Amy Padula, and me. Our editor is Gianna Palmer. Sound design and original music by John Delore and Casey Holford. The executive producers are Chris Bannon, Jenny Radelet, and me. Household Name is a production of Insider Audio.
Stitcher.